Well, it's been a good day in the Lord.
Amen.
I told Brother Jacob, he called me, was talking to me after the service, and I told him, I said, now, Brother Jacob, I said, me and Sharon are planning on coming back and worshiping with y'all tonight. And he said, that's good, Brother Johnny. I said, now, I want to know, I said, are you going to get me to preach, or are you going to preach, you know? And he said, oh, Brother Johnny, I want you to preach. I want you to preach tonight to us again. If you're coming, I want you to preach. And so that gave me a little bit more notice. Amen. And but anyhow, we're glad to be here and enjoy the service this morning. Appreciate the Lord's help. Boy, it's always wonderful when the Lord shows up in a service. Amen. And speaks to your heart. And I thank him for that. And tonight we're going to go in just a little different direction. And I'm going to preach to you tonight like I'm preaching to the church. Amen. And that I'm dealing with church folks, saved folks, people that love the Lord, people want to do something for the Lord. Amen. And people who's been in church for a while. I know some of y'all I've seen for a long time. And so I know you've been in church for a while, amen? And so, but we're gonna preach it. But I ask you tonight, if you would, to listen closely as we preach, because I don't want to confuse anybody. If you fade away and you let your mind wander, well, you're liable to get lost, amen, of what I'm saying. And so, but I want to be clear, and I want to be a help and a blessing to you tonight with the Lord's help. And so if you would take your Bibles, let's go to the book of Luke tonight. The book of Luke, chapter number 11. Luke chapter 11 and I want to look at verse number 1 to begin with, then Luke chapter 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying, it's talking about the Lord Jesus. He said he was praying in a certain place. It's good to have a place of prayer, isn't it? To have a certain place. Have a place you can go to. I just encourage you to have a place you go, whether it's, on your knees there before at your couch or in your bedroom, or, you know, if you got a closet big enough, get in your closet. That'd be all right. But everybody needs to have a certain place that they go to pray. And I think about this. If Jesus prayed, how much more do we need to pray? And the Bible says, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, has John also taught his disciples. And boy, that's a good desire for a believer to have, for one of God's children to have. And that is a desire to know how to pray. And I tell you, the Lord loves it when we talk to him. He does. And it's sad that he has to put obstacles in our way sometimes just to get us to talk to him. But the Lord loves it when we talk to him and we pray to him. And the disciples wanted to know how to pray. And that's interesting because, you'd think they would say, Lord, teach us how to cast out devils or how to work miracles. I mean, that'd be what most people would be asking for. Lord, teach us how to preach, you know, and how to get a crowd together, you know. But they didn't say that. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And then the Lord give them what we call the Lord's Prayer, which really it's not the Lord's Prayer. He gave it to his disciples. It would be the disciples' prayer, I guess. But then in verse number 5, and this is where I want us to go to tonight, the Bible says, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. I want to end off reading there. Let's go to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to be here, Lord, to have the privilege to stand in this pulpit and, Lord, to preach your word. Now, Lord, we know that we are nothing and can do nothing without you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll let the Holy Spirit, Lord, continue to have charge of the service. Lord, I pray you'll direct what we say. And, Lord, that you'll not only bless the words that go forth, but you'll bless the hearers tonight. That God, that each and every person be able to hear and receive, Lord, what you have for us from the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for this old King James Bible, Lord. Thank you that it's pure and that it's perfect, it's preserved. Lord, thank you, God, we can lean upon it and rest upon it and depend upon it. And I pray, God, you'll help us now as we come to this time of preaching. Get glory and honor to yourself. And we pray that you might help your people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you for a little while tonight about the willing friend. The willing friend tonight. Now, if everybody prayed for you the same way that you prayed for everybody else, I wonder how much would you get prayed for? I feel like most of the time we spend praying for ourselves, praying for me and mine. We want everybody to pray for us, but then we spend very little time in praying for others. Many times if we can't see the benefit in it for us, and if we can't get something out of it, well, we just won't bother. But intercessory prayer says this: if it can benefit and bless others, it's worth my effort. It's worth my time to ask God for it. Now, intercessory prayer is not easy. It demands faith and great self-denial to be able to be an intercessor. Intercessory prayer is a sign of spiritual maturity. Our prayer life reveals where we are at tonight in our walk with the Lord. You want to know where you're at with the Lord? Examine your prayer life. How much time do you spend each day talking to the Lord and praying to the Lord? And then what do you spend that time praying for? Intercessory prayer is an act of approaching and petitioning God on the behalf of another. That's what it is. It's just going to God and praying to God for somebody else. For somebody else's need, somebody else's problem, somebody else's circumstance. That's what intercessory prayer is all about. It's you and I that are saved using our relationship and our access to God to ask Him to intervene and meet the needs of others. We're using our authority that God has given us in Christ. Amen. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace. And so tonight we can come before the Lord and we can talk to Him and we can have assurance that God will hear and answer our prayers, not because I'm a good person, not because I'm a preacher. Oh no, not because I'm a church member or been baptized, but because I've been born again, because I'm a child of the King tonight, I can come to Him and seek Him and get my prayers heard and answered. Amen. Now, true intercession is when we can identify with someone in need and pray to God to meet that need as if that need was our very own. Now, in this passage of Scripture here, the Lord Jesus gives us a parable, and He shows us the process and the importance of intercessory prayer. There's three people in this story. There is the weary friend. He's the one that has the problem. He's the one that has a need. He comes at midnight, knocking on the door. That's the weary friend. But then there's the willing friend. The willing friend is the intercessor. He is the one who takes the needs of one and brings it to another who has the ability to meet that need. And then there is the wealthy friend. Of course, the wealthy friend, he represents the Lord. Amen? The Lord. He's the one who has the power and the ability to meet any need that we have. Isn't that good? Amen. He shall supply all of your need, He said, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God for a wealthy friend tonight. This story is all about a man who has a weary friend come to him at midnight in need, and the willing friend didn't have anything to give him. And so in order to meet the need, he went to his wealthy friend's house, and he began to plead with him for 3 loaves of bread. Now, at first, the wealthy friend, he said from within, he said, "Now, don't bother me. Don't trouble me." He said, "Trouble me not." He said, "The door is shut." He said, "We're all in bed. We're in bed." And he said, "I cannot rise and give thee." In other words, he said, "You're going to have to come at another time. This is an inconvenient time." But because of his persistency, because this willing friend was persistent, his wealthy friend eventually got up and gave him what he asked for. He gave him what he needed. Isn't that a blessing? And so what I want to do tonight is I want to take a look at this wealthy friend and bring out some thoughts about intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. First of all, as we look at this willing friend, I want you to notice his problem. At midnight, a friend has come to me. Now, this weary friend presents a problem. He's got a need. He's in a desperate situation. No doubt this weary friend was in a bad way, for he come in the middle of the night to cry out to his friend for help. Now, I don't know the extent of this man's need. Maybe he was hungry. Maybe he had family with him. Maybe he had some children with him. Maybe they were hungry. Whatever the case was, it must have been urgent for him to come at midnight. You know, some things just can't wait. Some things we can kind of wait on and be patient with. But some things has to be taken care of now. This man had an urgent need. He had something that he had to have help with right now. This weary friend came to him at midnight, in the middle of the night. You know what that speaks of? It speaks of darkness. It's always dark when problems come. Amen? It's always dark. We all face problems from time to time. Sometimes it's sickness, might be persecution, could be financial difficulty, could be emotional stress. The list could just go on and on. We all have problems, different circumstances and things that come in our life. And the best thing you can do when you're overwhelmed with a problem is take it to a friend and let them help you bear the burden. After all, that's what friends are for. The Bible says this, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Bear ye one another's burdens. What's he talking about? Intercessory prayer. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Many times we as the people of God get into desperate situations and we come to the house of God and we ask for special prayer concerning a certain problem. Isn't it good to know that you have some willing friends at the house of God that will pray for you. Amen. Isn't that good? People come to us with a need, and yet we don't have anything to set before them. Isn't it good to know that we have a friend that we can take it to that can supply the need? And with the way we're able to meet the need is through the process of intercessory prayer. The weary friend, in the weary friend, we see the circumstance. We see the problem. He presents a problem to the willing friend. I've got a problem. Well, what happens is the weary friend's problem becomes the willing friend's problem. He's got a problem. The willing friend, we see compassion. He wants to help. We know that the willing friend was moved with compassion because the man that come to him didn't have anything to give. He was empty-handed. He was broke. The man's compassion is revealed by what he did, by his selflessness. This man was in bed sleeping. All of a sudden, a knock at the door. It's at night. He's disturbing his rest, his schedule. He's disrupted things in his life. But he was so moved with compassion that he denied himself and got up out of bed to meet this need of his weary friend. Now, if you plan on being effective in intercessory prayer, you're going to have to be willing to put others ahead of yourself. Intercessory prayer is about denying yourself for the benefit of others. When's the last time you got up out of bed in the middle of the night to pray to God for somebody's needs? When's the last time you was troubled when there was a knock at your door and somebody comes to you and speaks to you in the heart and says, you've got a friend that's got a problem and you need to take care of this problem? Well, what can we do? We take it to somebody who can solve the problem. Amen. Unselfish praying is hard, but it's necessary if we hope to help someone in need. Ask yourself this question tonight. Is anybody benefiting from my prayer life other than me? But not only do we see his selflessness, we see his sacrifice. He's willing to do whatever it took to meet the needs of his friend. He didn't allow the amount of sacrifice he had to make to hinder him from helping his friend. He didn't let his fear of having to do too much keep him from being willing to do what he could. You know, many times we don't want to get involved because we're afraid it's going to cost us too much. You know, that's kind of like him, that Levite and that priest that passed by the man in the ditch that fell among the thieves. They looked on him, they said, this is going to be too much for me. I don't want to get involved with this. Amen. Many times we'll only get involved if it looks like there's going to be something that's going to benefit us. This man was moved with compassion to the place he was willing to sacrifice his sleep, his comfort, and his pleasure in order to do what he could to help his weary friend. And so we see his problem, but then I want you to notice his powerlessness. He said, I have nothing to set before him. The friend come to him, he said, I don't have anything to give you. He exposed his failure. His weary friend had come to him and he had nothing to give him. He went to the cupboard to try to satisfy this urgent need that the man had. He said, The wife didn't go to the grocery store. And the wife says, we didn't have no money. The cupboard's bare. Don't have nothing to set before him. The situation caused him to look to someone greater than himself to meet the need. Many times people will come to us with their problem and they'll ask for help. And we find that all we can do is run to God to ask Him to meet their need. As a friend, we might not have what it takes to solve their problem, but as an intercessor, we can take it to the one who can. Amen. We have a love. We may have a love and a concern for people and a willingness to help, but there's a limit to what we can do. We must have a resource. And prayer gives us access to the throne room of God where the supply for the needs are infinite and without limitations. Often we have to confess, I have nothing. And it drives us to the one who has everything. You remember Peter and John? In Acts chapter 3, they were going into the temple. There's a lame man there asking alms. And Peter said, look on us, you know. And he looked on and he thought, boy, they fixing to fill my cup. He didn't know what was fixing to happen. Peter said, I know what you're asking for, what you're looking for. He said, I don't have it. He said, but I know somebody who does. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Amen. He said, I can't help you, but I know a man that can. I know the man that can. And tonight, as a child of God, as a born-again believer, you are an intercessor. And you can talk to the Lord and you can meet the needs of somebody else. But he exercised his faith. Not only did he expose his failure, I don't have anything. But he exercised his faith. He knew that he wasn't able to meet his weary friend's need, but he had confidence and assurance in somebody who could. Difficult circumstances often help to develop our faith. You know, we'll ask God for great faith, and then we'll complain when He tries to develop it. Now, we get faith from the Word of God, but great faith is developed from desperate situations. Are you listening? Great faith is developed from desperate situations. You remember the centurion? He had the servant that had the palsy. He was grievously tormented. And he carried it to the Lord and said, Lord, I've got a servant. He needs some help. And the Lord said, okay, I'll help him. And he starts to head that way. He said, don't bother. He said, just speak the word only. And he'll be healed. The Lord said, I had never seen such great faith in all of Israel. Great faith comes from desperate situations. You remember the woman of Canaan? Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And the Lord said, great is thy faith. She carried her problem to the Lord. And she was the one that, you know, she was that crumb begging dog. The Lord said, it's not meat to take the bread from the children and cast it to the dogs. Give it to the dogs. She said, yay, Lord. But the dogs eat from the crumb that fall from the master. She said, Lord, I can get by on the crumbs. Amen. She had great faith. That was the only two people in the whole New Testament God said had great faith. Both of them were Gentiles. Aren't you glad you're a Gentile tonight? Amen. We're among those that can have great faith. Great faith. In order to have mountain-moving faith, God has got to put some mountains in the way. Is that not right? We talk about faith, but then we tend to use very little of it. Until a problem comes into our life that we can't handle, then we have to trust somebody who has the answer. Sometimes God will allow a trial or a need to enter into our life to remind us of how weak and powerless we are, so that we will have to run to Him. I don't know why this happened to me. Lord, why me? Well, you're talking to the Lord here. Amen. He's got you talking to Him. And so we see His problem. We see His powerlessness. Now notice His prayer. He said, because of His importunity. Now that word importunity means to press or to ask a favor with fervency and frequency. This man was persistent in asking his wealthy friend for help. He just kept pleading. He just kept calling out to his friend. Until his friend got up. In other words, he would not give up. How many times should you pray for something before you stop praying? How many times? Some people say, well, you just ask the Lord one time. You ask more than once, you're not exercising faith. But I beg to differ with that. I believe the Bible argues against that. I believe this passage of Scripture that I'm preaching about tells us that we are to be persistent in our praying. He just kept on seeking. He kept on calling. He kept on knocking. He didn't quit until his friend got up and did something for him. He said, I'm not giving up. This man faced a problem. He went in faith. He went to the right person. He went to the right place. He shared the right problem. He made the right request. But his wealthy friend wouldn't respond. Wouldn't do anything. Many times we as God's people, we face the same problem. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, do everything we know to be is right. And in order to get God to try to answer our prayers, but then we get no response. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever went to the Lord and seemingly had everything confessed, had everything right in your life? You were sincere as you knew how to be. You tried to believe as much as you could believe God for the situation, and God just didn't do anything for you. What do we do? Well, most of the time we go back home disappointed and defeated, and we say, you're just going to have to do without, friend. It just wasn't His will to do anything for you. You're just going to have to go without. But this man just kept calling out. He kept on knocking until he got a response, and his needs were met. You know, we need to keep on asking. We need to keep on seeking. We need to keep on knocking. Until God comes to the door and grants our request. I believe we miss out on a lot of blessings because we're not persistent in our praying. Not only did this man have persistence, but he also had patience. He had patience. This man was committed to his weary friend that had come to him in need, and he was willing to endure with patience until he got some help for his friend. Now, I'm sure this man didn't understand the rejection that he received. I'm sure he didn't understand it. Lord, why are you not getting up and doing something for me? Why are you not helping me, Lord? I'm trying to do everything right. But he knew he had to be patient and persistent, and eventually his wealthy friend would arise and give him what he needed. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers immediately because He wants to see if we're really committed
in our faith to Him. I want to tell you, God loves faith. He likes it and loves it when you and I have faith. In fact, He said, brother, it is impossible to please Me without faith. You've got to have faith to please the Lord. God demands it. If we're going to be intercessors, we're going to have to be believers in God. We're going to have faith in God. Isn't that what He says? He says, have faith in God. That's one of my favorite verses over there in Mark. Amen. I won't read it to you because I'll misquote it. Let me read it to you in Mark. I think it might be Mark chapter 11. I'm not sure. Let me see here if it is. No, it's not Mark chapter 11. Do what? It's where the Lord says, have faith in God. And He said, He talks about believing. And if we say to this mountain, be thou removed. Well, this one I'm thinking about is in Mark. Do what? 11:22? Okay. Thank you, darling. I appreciate that. All right, look what it says. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. If we're going to be intercessory prayers, warriors, we're going to have faith and believe God. Amen. Now there's some other requirements to being an intercessor. We know that we've got to be saved, we've got to be sanctified. I mean, if we're not saved, the Lord doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. If we are saved and we got sin in our life, God said if you regard iniquity in your heart, He's not going to hear us. Amen. And so we know those things. And we know that when we pray, that if we ask anything according to His will, it's got to be His will. He hears us. Amen. And if He hears us, we know we have the petition that we desire of Him. And so they are some qualifications. But what I want you to notice here is not only did this man have persistence, but he had patience. The more you invest in prayer, the more you're going to appreciate the answer when it comes. You see, God's not a puppet. If we could just pray, and boy, just as soon as we pray, God just hand it to us on a silver platter, why, we'd get full of pride. We'd get all puffed up. We'd think we're something special. Man, God hears my prayer every time I pray. God hears and answers my prayer right away. I don't have to wait for nothing. Well, we'd just get prideful. But the Lord sometimes, He tries our faith in order to develop our faith and to help us to grow and to keep us humble. Remember, we've got to have patience. He don't need what we've got. We need what He's got. The willing friend is going to the wealthy friend because the wealthy friend is the one that has what he needs. And then notice lastly the prize. The prize. The Bible says He will rise and give him as many as he needed. His prayer was answered. Eventually, his wealthy friend came to the door and responded to his call. The promise is this. If we'll continue in our asking, continue in our seeking, continue in our knocking, we are guaranteed an answer. Your prayer may be a simple asking. It may be a persistent seeking. It may even require a perseverance in knocking. But your prayer will be heard. I love this verse too. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The problem was solved. Once he got his wealthy friend to the door, everything was okay. Amen. He received everything that he needed. Now, we all have problems that come into our life that we can't handle, but thank God we've got a wealthy friend tonight who we can go to, who can solve all of our problems. For he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above, not just what, but above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the power that's working in us. I'm going to say another thing it's going to take to be an effective intercessory prayer warrior. I believe it's going to take being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit of God. God has given us the privilege of intercessory prayer in order to get help for others in their time of need. Now, when we give ourselves to intercessory prayer, I want you to think about this tonight, and I'm winding down. When we give ourselves to intercessory prayer, we are imitating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself unto God to be an intercessor for us. Amen. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. The Lord right now is praying for you. Nobody else might not be thinking about you, but he is. Isn't that wonderful? Because of that, I believe that intercessory prayer is the praying that most honors and pleases God. I believe it's the kind of praying that he enjoys answering the most. That's why prayer requests and praying for one another is so important. We need to take prayer requests that come our way seriously. We need to be willing to make someone else's need our need, and bring it before the God of heaven and stay there until the Lord does something. I want you to think about this. What if you let the Lord lay somebody else's lost loved one on your heart? Think about that. Do you know somebody in the church here that's got a lost loved one? Why don't you let the Lord put that person on your heart and begin to pray and intercede for them and pray for that lost loved one just like it was your own. Just like it was your own child or your own husband or your own wife, that you pray and that you intercede and talk to God and beg God, God, don't let them go to hell. God, please deal with their hearts. Lord, let them see their lost condition. Lord, please don't give up on them. Lord, continue to draw them. Put things in their path that will turn them towards you. And then suppose that one that you're praying for, their lost loved one, suppose they got a burden to pray for your lost loved one. And they prayed and they prayed. And they say, Lord, I'm going to be like Jacob. And I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to quit, Lord, until you bless me, until you do something for me. Lord, this person has a need, God, and this need needs to be met. God, I'm going to plead with you and beg you, Lord, and seek your face, God, until you do something for my friend. My friend has a need, and Lord, that need needs to be met, and I can't do it, but I know you can. You know what would happen if each one got a burden for somebody else's lost loved one? Revival would break out. And all the needs would be met. If we'd get a burden to pray for the needs of others. And of course, Brother Ernest and some of you older ones, y'all remember this stuff. It's kind of fading out when I come along in the area that I live in. And I thank God that I got as much of good preaching and teaching and worship as I've gotten. But there's some places, other places, Brother Ernest, and you know there's other places in America where people really worship God and the Word is really preached, and boy, you really get help and strength and stuff. Things are different around here. But I can remember. Serious about this thing about praying for the spiritual needs of people. I'm talking about people in the church and people outside the church. I'm talking about lost people and backsliders. Amen. We need to pray that God would deal with their hearts and they'd see their condition. They would repent and come to God. I wonder, is anyone benefiting and getting help from your prayer life? Jesus said this. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Don't quit until you get what you need from your wealthy friend. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If we're going to reap, we're going to have to stay on our knees. Amen? And continue petitioning our Lord for the needs that are before us. Are you a willing friend tonight? Are you willing to be an intercessory prayer warrior? To pray for someone, for their need, for their circumstance, for their problem? To make it your problem until God solves the problem. A willing friend. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I want to thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for what you showed us in the scriptures, Lord, concerning prayer. And Lord, I'm such a failure when it comes to prayer. Lord, I'm such a weak prayer warrior. I pray you'll forgive me and strengthen my faith. Help me, dear Lord, to be more faithful and more persistent in my prayer life. Lord, help me to be concerned for others the way that I'm concerned about myself. Help me even to be more concerned for others than I am myself. Lord, I pray you'd help each one of us, Lord, here at Unity tonight, Lord, that you'll strengthen our faith and help us, dear Lord, to be the prayer warriors that you would have us to be. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would make Unity Baptist Church a praying church. And God, that they'd be able to see the power of God. And Lord, they'd be able to see miracles wrought, Lord, in this place. That souls would be saved. That Lord, that backsliders, Lord, would come home. Oh, God, that people would get on fire for you. And folks would get filled with the Spirit. And Lord, get excited about serving Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll help the folk here at Unity. Bless your word tonight, Lord. Have your will and way on the altar call. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.